بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. وعن قيس بن بشر التغلبي قال أخبرني أبي وكان جليسا لأبي الدرداء قال كان بدمشق رجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقال له سال بن حنزلية، وكان رجلا متوحدا قلما يجالس الناس، إنما هو الصلاة، فإذا فرغ فإنما هو تسبيح وتكبير حتى يأتي أهله. فمر بنا ونحن عند أبي الدرداء فقال له أبو الدرداء كلمة تنفعنا ولا تضر. قال بعث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سرية فقدمت، فجاء رجل منهم فجلس في المجلس الذي يجلس فيه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فقال لرجل إلى جنبه لو رأيتنا حين التقينا نحن والعدو، فحمل فلان وطعنا، فقال خذها مني وأنا الغلام الغفاري، كيف ترى في قوله؟ قال ما أراه إلا قد بطل أجره. فسمع بذلك آخر فقال ما أرى بذلك بأسا، فتنازعا حتى سمع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال سبحان الله، لا بأس أن يؤجر ويحمد. فرأيت أبو الدرداء سر بذلك وجعل يرفع رأسه إليه ويقول أنت سمعت ذلك من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ فيقول نعم. فما زال يعيد عليه حتى إني لأقول ليبركن على ركبته. As I mentioned, this is a slightly lengthy riwayat. Just to recap the section which we discussed up till now, the narrator is Qais bin Bishr Taghlibi, who is narrating from his father, who used to be one of those who used to frequent the majlis of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he mentions that there was in Damascus a person from amongst the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whose name was Sahal bin Hanzaliya. And Sahal bin Hanzaliya was a person who led a solitary life. He would not constantly, in other words, he would rarely mix with people. He was always engaged in salah, and when he would be free from his salah, he would be engaged in tasbih and takbir until he returned back to his family. One day, Sahal bin Hanzaliya passed us by whilst we were sitting in the company of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We reached up till this point yesterday. In order to appreciate one of the important lessons that we learn from this incident, it's important to try and contextualize what is going on. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu is a very, very famous, senior and eminent companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was the normal practice with the eminent Sahaba, particularly Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, others, etc., that their majalis and their gatherings would be gatherings of knowledge, discussion of interaction with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they had gleaned, what they had learnt, etc. So this was one such gathering. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, senior Sahabi, is sitting with quality students around him. Sahabi was not that well known. In fact, from the background that is given about him, led to a very large extent a solitary and a confined life. And obviously not very senior also. Many of us, you ask somebody who is Sahal bin Hanzaliya, they won't even know. And yet Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, in front of his students, does not consider it as beneath his dignity to seek knowledge from this person. Anyone that came in company with Rasul, anyone that came in contact with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Sahaba, they had this deep thirst to find those people, sit with them, and beg from them that please tell me what you learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in this, I touched upon this in the latter part of Ramadan also, This is a very, very dire testimony against us. Many of us have this mindset that my period for learning was when I was in madrasa or maktab. From that point onwards, very, very few of us have this genuine desire to acquire knowledge. Whereas these type of incidents completely belie this mindset. We are literally supposed to be seeking the knowledge of deen. Min al-lahad ila al-mahad. Min al-mahad ila al-lahad. From the cradle till the grave. Sign, shi'ar, symbol of a true believer is that we should always be looking at every opportunity, every chance to learn something. And we have to understand, my respected brothers, deen seekhne se aate hai. You want to drive, you have to learn to drive. You want to swim, you have to learn to swim. Anything in life you want to do, you have to learn. In the same way, deen also has to be learned. And we should constantly have this desire to learn. As we can see, Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala who says to this person that is passing, calls him, كَلِمَةً تَنْفَعُنَا وَلَا تَدُرُّكُ. Now again, look at the manner in which he approaches him. Abu Darda is a senior, eminent sahabi. He doesn't take advantage of his eminence or seniority and instruct that person. He wants to learn from him. So he approaches him with great humility. This is not literal translation, but from the expression. In other words, can I disturb you? Please, I am exhorting you. Kalimatan, teach us a few words. Tanfa'una, we will benefit, wala tadurruk, and no harm will come to you. In other words, this indicates the extreme humility of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And an important adab and etiquette. Deen, seekhna, tawazu se aate hai. If you want to learn deen, and you want barakah in your knowledge, then pride and arrogance, that does not go with it. There has to be humility. And you have to have the genuine respect for the person from whom you are seeking knowledge. So, Hassan bin Hanzaliyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentions, he says, once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent out a sariya. Sariya is an Arabic word which normally refers to a jamaat that numbers under 400. In other words, a small contingent was sent out in jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They returned. And when they returned, there was a person amongst them. And he was sitting in the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jalasa fil majlis alladhi yajlisu fi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he passed a remark to somebody who was next to him. And the remark went along these lines, if only you could see us when we were on the battlefield engaged in war against the enemy, nahnu wal adu, and so picked up a spear and he struck the enemy and he struck him and he said these words, take this from me, I am a Ghifari youngster. In other words, what happened was, some war took place, Sahaba were fighting the enemy, and in the heat of battle, one of the Sahaba, from the description you can see, is a youngster from the Ghifari clan. He fought ferociously and he took his spear and he attacked the enemy with these words, take this from me, I am a Ghifari youngster. Now, this type of expression in Arabic has connotations of arrogance and pride. I belong to so and so clan. Do you know who I am? I am so and so. This is how in our language we would interpret this type of expression. So a discussion is taking place. كَيْفَ تَرَى فِي قَوْلِهِ. What is your opinion about this? What he said. Take this. I am a Ghifari youngster. So the person who was, he was, in other words, Sahaba were having a discussion. So the person said, Ma arahu illa qad batala ajru. As far as I'm concerned, when he displayed pride and arrogance like this, whatever sawab he was supposed to get, he made it batil, he destroyed his sawab. So another person heard this, he said, I don't see anything wrong in what he did. So this got into a little bit of a heated discussion. Is it okay for him to have behaved like this, or is it not okay for him to have behaved like this? Hatta samia Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Until Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this discussion. So the reaction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Subhanallah. Now this expression, Subhanallah, people are engaged in an argument, voices are getting raised. Subhanallah. Immediately this cuts off the argument at the root. Glory be to Allah. And like this we find other occasions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would use this type of expression, Subhanallah. Or at times, La ilaha illallah. From this we learn an important lesson, that if you want to calm things down, let this also become our habit, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah. Take Allah's name. So this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Subhanallah. And then, La ba'sa an yu'jar wa yuhmad. What is the problem if Allah rewards him also and he is praised also? In other words, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated permissibility for this type of behavior. Now, ulama ikram mentioned two important lessons. In fact, there are many lessons, but two things that we want to highlight about this. First was, Sahaba, out of necessity, they engaged in war, in battle, which led to confrontation, which led to taking the lives of the enemy. At times they would lose their lives, become shaheed in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Important lesson from this type of discussion is we see the cleanliness of the intention of Sahaba. They did not fight wars for the sake of fighting. Look at our concern. Will he get reward by Allah, or has he destroyed his reward? Is he just fighting to boast and show how brave he is, or is he really fighting for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This constant concern about the niyat and the intention. Why am I fighting? Why am I going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah tells us in the Quran, Tilka darul akhirah. نَجْعَلُهَا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يُرِيدُونَ عُلُوًا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فَسَادًا. Jannat, we have kept it, we have made it for those who don't want positions in this world. Sahaba did not engage in war for conquest or to prove how brave they are or for any personal reason. This is why so concerned immediately. Look, just the statement, in the height of battle, normally you wouldn't even give a second thought to something like this. This is the way a person spurs himself on. Fight. It's a life and death situation. So somebody in the heat of battle, if he has to rise up and strike out the enemy with this type of expression, normally you wouldn't give it a second thought. But look at the concern. The one says, perhaps he has destroyed his reward by boasting. And yet the other one says, I don't see anything wrong in it. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obviously the permissibility now is shown to us.